Continue. We just started in Luke chapter 1, and we've been going through the entire book of Luke, and we're in Luke chapter 23. If you would continue to pray for Leah and Shay and the children while they're out of town, and Sister Nikki and Brother Steve and the family while they're on the road. And remember Brother Wayne, and he's injured his eye, and pray for him. Amen. That he'll get that taken care of as soon as possible. Lord will heal him up. All right, here in Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, and we're picking it up now. We left off there last Sunday evening in verse 31. We'll pick it up here in verse 32. I would ask, please, please, please come to the service tonight if at all possible. Be here. I'm looking forward to preaching the message tonight. Tempted to preach it this morning, because you know how it is. A lot of times you'll have a little more on a Sunday morning than you will on a Sunday night, and I'd like to kind of skip ahead and maybe preach that one this morning for y'all, but got to do it in the way the Lord gives it. So I'll be preaching what I'm preaching this morning, but come back this evening. Amen. All right, Luke chapter, how's that for a disclaimer? In other words, everybody right now, you're like shut down and say, well, I'll come back tonight and hear something, because obviously there ain't nothing this morning. That's not what I meant, but I'm just saying come back this evening. Amen. All right. Luke chapter 23 and verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. The amazing cross of Jesus Christ. And as we've gone through the book of Luke, it's all pointed to this event, this time when the Lord Jesus Christ would lay down his life on the cross of Calvary so that sinners like you and I could be saved. And it's amazing to me the way that God can take something as simple as a cross and reveal all that he's able to reveal by this occurrence. The testimony of the cross of Jesus Christ. And I'll be preaching on the testimony of the cross this morning. What does it testify of? This event right here, what is it truly that's being said? You know, the way you dress testifies of you. The way you conduct yourself testifies of you. The things that you say testify of you. And here in this portion of Scripture, we have a great testimony to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, seven things particularly that I'd like to look at this morning that are spoken of, seven things that testify to this cross. And the first one we'll look at this morning is the testimony of prophecy. Revelation 19:10 says that the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Look with me here in verse 32, in Luke chapter 23 and verse 32, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. Interesting, that's prophesied of in Isaiah 53. Here in verse 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And we'll see, as we will in just a second, in Psalm 22, the fulfillment of that prophecy. In verse 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, just as the Bible prophesied. Look there with me in verse 36. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. Say, what is all this? It is simply the fulfillment of prophecy. Holding your place here in the book of Luke, and look with me please in the Psalms. In Psalm chapter 22 this morning, Psalm 22, we see in the cross a testimony of prophecy. Prophecy is being fulfilled right at that time that the Lord Jesus Christ is laying down his life on the cross. Here in Psalm 22, notice in verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, we don't see that spoken of there in Luke 23, but the Lord does say that when he's on that cross. And so right away, we understand as we're looking here in Psalm 22 that we are looking at a portion of Scripture that has to do with the prophecy of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Look with me there in verse 6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. And of course, we've been reading about the despising, verse 7, and they all see me, laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in. They're mocking him, they're making fun of him, and that's prophesied of, and we read about that there in Luke chapter 23. Look at verse 16. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. They pierced my hands and my feet. That's written 1,000 years before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's written before there was ever such a thing as crucifixion ever known to mankind. How was it that King David was able to pen this and point to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ as his means of death? A piercing of hands, a piercing of feet. And yet it's mentioned right here. 1,000 years before Jesus Christ ever died on the cross, it was prophesied that he would do so. Amazing prophecy. Somebody says, how do you know the Bible's the Word of God? Because I can read. And I have the ability to think and reason. And there's no other way you can explain to me how prophecies from 1,000 or 700 years in Isaiah before Jesus Christ ever showed up all come to be fulfilled that day that Jesus Christ dies on the cross. 27 specific prophecies are all fulfilled within that one day. An amazing thing. Look here with me again in Psalm 22. Notice with me in verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. And that's exactly what we just read of them doing there in Luke chapter 23. The cross testifies to the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me here, continuing in Psalms real quick, Psalm 69. Psalm 69, while we're there in the Psalms, let's look in Psalm 69 real quick, one verse, Psalm 69, verse 21. And notice in verse 21, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. And what happened? What did the soldiers offer Jesus Christ there in verse 36? Vinegar to drink, just as was prophesied 1,000 years before it ever took place. Now that's something, amen. Say, what is that? That's proof that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of prophecy, and the cross testifies of that. Well, say, someone says, I follow the prophet Muhammad. Really? What did he prophesy 1,000 years before it happened? Why you call him a prophet? Name me something he prophesied that came to pass. One thing? Anybody? I think I'll stick with the cross of Jesus Christ. I think I'll follow Jesus. Amen. That cross testifies of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the testimony of the cross, the fulfillment of prophecy. Not only that, but the cross back here in Luke chapter 23 testifies of man. It's a great testimony of man. You know, the Bible says, take heed, listen, when all men speak well of you. How about that? You know, if you're going to live for Jesus Christ, if you're going to seek to please the Lord, not everybody's going to talk nice about you. I know that may surprise some of you, but that's true. Take heed when all men speak well of you. And you find out about Jesus Christ that some spoke well of him and some didn't. Say, what is that? That's the cross revealing the nature of mankind. See? Look there in verse 33. What do we find out about mankind? As Jesus Christ is being led to the cross and crucified for the sins of all mankind, what is mankind saying about him? Verse 33, and when they were coming to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left, then said, Jesus, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. They're making fun of him. They're laughing at him. They're joking about him. And I can stand up here and tell you, as retired military, serving in the Army and the Coast Guard, and as a veteran service officer dealing with military members of all sorts and every kind, you're talking about soldiers here. And if you know anything about soldiers, you know exactly what's going on there at the cross. And they're fighting and cussing and arguing over who's going to get what pieces of his garments, and mocking him and giving him vinegar to drink and making jokes and spitting on him and everything else. So what is that? That's nature. That's human nature. That's mankind. That's man at his best state, the Bible says, is altogether vanity. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward, the Bible says. Look at those rulers there in verse 35. They're doubting. They're doubting of whom he is. That's the rulers of the people. But then look down there in verse 47. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. Now you see that, how some people look at it and how others look at it? You know what that cross does? It divides. And it reveals mankind to himself. What do you think about when you see the cross? When you get alone with your buddies, you laugh about it? Joke about it? What do you think about it? Does it touch your heart? Are you able to sing about it? Are you able to rejoice in it? But I can remember a few times, you know, hanging out with buddies after a long night and coming home from the town and just living like a pack of wild dogs, and coming home and having some of those guys out there drunk, howling at the moon and singing hymns. I remember that. What a thing, huh? So what is that? That's mankind. That's mankind. See? And the Bible kind of divides that thing up. What happened there? Look at verse 48. And all the people came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, and smote their breasts and returned. That's the average man. That's kind of the world in general. Most of them aren't bad folk. But they ain't going to do something nothing to stop the bad ones. How is it that there's a few bad folks that can ruin a country? Most of the folks ain't that bad. It seems like those bad ones, they get the authority from the devil, and they come up there, they can ruin a whole country. They can take a whole country like this right down. Amen. That's all it takes, a few bad ones. And that's what you got. Majority of people are decent folks. Majority of people just trying to raise a family. Majority of people just trying to get by. That's most of the people hanging around that cross. They're just looking. They're just watching. That's what most people are doing today. They're not in church, but they're not out causing problems. They're just sitting down. They've got a little tube. They're looking. They're just hanging around. That's people. See, the cross just reveals mankind. It just takes that thing and just takes the veneer off and lets you know what man is really all about. Verse 49, and all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And there's something about that cross, the way it's able just to kind of divide things. His acquaintance, those were ones that actually knew him. They couldn't do anything to stop it. They're just looking and they're seeing what others are thinking about it. It amazes me how many Christians are swayed by unbelievers. It amazes me how many Christians would rather get along with this world than seek to serve Jesus Christ. But see, that cross, it's able to do that. It's able to reveal your own heart to yourself, if you'll let it, show you who you really are. You can tell a lot about people by their friends and by their enemies. You can tell a lot about Jesus Christ by who his friends were and who his enemies were. And he had enemies, see? You want to know something about a man? Find out who his friends are. Find out who his enemies are. You'll find out all you need to know. Amen. 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 That's all there is to it. Daniel had friends. Daniel had enemies. Paul had friends. And Paul had enemies. You know what you've got there, that thing? And we'll look at that more tonight. You have two thieves, don't you? You have two thieves. One on one side, one on the other. That cross. It's able to reveal. That cross is able to divide. You know what it does? It's a testimony of mankind. It cuts in twain. It divides. We see that cross right there. We have a testimony in writing on the cross. Did you notice that? Look back there with me. Look there in Luke chapter 23 and notice in verse 38. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. That's all the known languages of that area so that everybody could see it, so that everybody could understand it. This is the King of the Jews. They came to Pilate. They said, hey, don't write that. Write that he said. You know what Pilate said? Remember his response? What I have written, I have written. You know, God's given us a testimony. You know what man likes to say today? No, we need to change that. We need to go back to the original and find... No, you know what the problem is? What I have written, I have written. The Lord ain't going to change his mind. You see, you have it. It's legal. It's binding. Say why? It's been written down. And buddy, when you write it down, it becomes binding. It becomes a legal argument that cannot be denied. It's an accusation. What is the accusation over the cross of Jesus Christ? We understand with the malefactors it was thief. Amen? Thief. That's the accusation. What was the accusation over Jesus Christ? This is the King of the Jews. What kind of an accusation is that? You know what you have in writing at the cross? An innocent man being crucified. No doubt about it. What was his accusation? What was his crime? The only fellow ever crucified where it's recorded that the accusation wasn't an accusation. There was no guilt. There was no sin. He had done nothing wrong. And yet he was crucified. A testimony of the innocence of Jesus Christ. It's in writing. It's in writing. How come Daniel, even after the king... Darius didn't want Daniel to go to the lions. But he had to let him go. Why? It was sealed with the king's writing. It was a legal binding document. You weren't going to undo it. You understand? Pilate wrote that thing. What I have written, I have written. That's done. It's settled. What was the accusation? There wasn't one. Put to death. For nothing. Crucified. An innocent man. The testimony of the cross. It testifies of the prophecy of the Lord. It testifies of the nature of man. It testifies in writing to the innocency of the Savior. And we see on that cross the testimony of Jesus Christ himself. Three times, just in here in Luke, we see the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And you know, if you'll study that thing out on the cross, there were seven different things that Jesus said when he was on the cross. Three are recorded here in this passage. Look there in verse 34. Notice what they have to do with verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. What a testimony. An innocent man being crucified. What's his response? What's he asking for? What's he offering? Forgiveness. All that you've done to hurt the Lord and do the Lord wrong, you know what his response is? Father, forgive them. What a Savior. Of everything to say on that cross, what does he ask for? Forgiveness towards his enemies. What else does he say? Look there in verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Forgiving, forgiveness, and salvation. He's giving salvation to that thief on the cross. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Jesus Christ, he could have said anything on the cross. Father, forgive them. You're coming to heaven with me. And finally, we see the last thing that he says here, right before he's getting ready to give up the ghost. And here in verse 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Even in there, he's offering hope for something after this life. You see, right from that, you know there's something more. You know there's something more. Hope. What do you see from Jesus Christ? What's his testimony at the cross? Oh, real simple. Forgiveness, salvation, and hope. That's what the Lord came to offer at the cross of Jesus Christ. Buddha offer you that? Can Muhammad offer you that? You know what Jesus Christ can offer that no one else can offer? He can offer you forgiveness. He can offer you salvation. He can offer you hope. You going to find it somewhere else? No, you're not. You'll find it at the cross. And the cross testifies to the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross testifies to the Father. To the Father himself. Look there in verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Verse 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Jesus Christ knew, without a doubt, he could trust the Father. Do you? Trust the Father. We should have the same. Jesus said, I do always those things which please the Father. Brother Huffman quoted that in Revelation chapter 4. For thy pleasure were all things created. Jesus knew that. He said, my whole life is about pleasing the Father. Yes, sir. What should be ours? The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. What does the Lord desire from us if we're to please him? A life of faith. You know what the Lord says? Trust the Father. Trust the Father. Believe the Father. That's what God wants from us more than anything else. The Father is offering goodwill towards you and I. But the Father wants his best for all of us. God wants his best for you. He does. You just don't trust him. He wants us to trust him. And we see right there that testimony from the cross that man can trust the Father. We see also the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Verse 47. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly, this was a righteous man. Verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Verse 48, and all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. You know what that says? Even there, the Holy Spirit, you can see, is drawing mankind to the cross. There's people out there that are looking at things and saying there's something about it. There's something attractive about something. As vile as the cross is, as painful as it was, there's something about it where the Holy Spirit draws you and I to that cross. And it's the cross itself that testifies of that drawing power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And it's that Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, that draws men to the cross. And when he does it, he deals with man individually. We'll give an invitation. Maybe we'll have two or three get saved. We've had times where more than one gets saved in any kind of an event. But it doesn't mean that the Lord is dealing with those two people the same way. Something about the Holy Spirit where he's able to speak as an individual to individuals. Because he knows right where you're at. And the way the Lord's dealing with you right now, you need to listen to it. You need to hear the Spirit. You need to obey the Spirit's calling. When the Spirit begins to woo and draw you to Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit begins to work in your heart and say, it's time for you to come and trust Christ, what are you going to do? Are you going to obey the Spirit's call? You see, it's the cross that testifies of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says there are three that testify in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And we see them all testifying there at the cross. And there are three that testify on earth. The Spirit, and the water, and the silent testimony. That's here at the cross. There's a silent testimony. And if you're not careful, you'll miss it. Because it doesn't speak very loudly. And yet there at the cross is where this silent testimony speaks. That centurion in verse 47, when he said, certainly this was a righteous man, what brought him to the point of saying that? Do you know? There was something that brought him to that point where even though he had been there breaking the legs of the thieves, coming to break the legs of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and then taking a spear and putting it into his side. And yet at that very point, he somehow changes his whole attitude and turns around and says, certainly this was a righteous man. In other words, he wasn't guilty of anything. He was innocent. He was sinless. What changed that? There was a silent testimony there at that cross. Hold your place in Luke. I just want you to look a few places real quick in your Bible. Matthew 27 and John 19, if you're able to find both at the same time, if you have three hands. If not, we'll just look first there in Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27, and look with me, please, in verse 54. Matthew 27 and verse 54. Now when the centurion, there he is, and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, what things? They feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. We read in Luke, truly, this was a righteous man. Truly, this was the Son of God. What brought them to that conclusion? Look there in John chapter 19, the Gospel of John chapter 19 and verse 33, but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out. What? There are three that testify on earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. There's a silent testimony. It's the testimony of the blood of Jesus Christ. He says in Mark 15:39, truly this man was the Son of God. Look back with me there in Luke. That blood did a remarkable thing at that cross. There in Luke chapter 23, as that soldier takes that spear and pierces the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blood of God poured out on Calvary's mountain. That blood began to testify. And there in Luke chapter 23 and verse 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. What happened? Verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour. Now watch it. And there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. There's a spiritual battle going on there, brother. That's not an eclipse. You don't have an eclipse for 3 hours. Sorry. That's not very scientific. What he's talking about here is not a physical darkness, but a spiritual darkness that overtakes the physical. A spiritual darkness like they had in the land of Egypt. And this darkness is over all the earth. Did you get that? That's 24 different hours around the earth, and in all 24 at the same time, it was dark for 3 hours. You've got the greatest spiritual battle of all mankind taking place at that time. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. What happened? That earthquake. What's going on? You see, they got Jesus, and the world said, we're going to get rid of this Jesus, and they put him up on the cross. And they said, we're going to be done with him. We're going to be done. We're going to shut him up. We're not going to let him talk anymore. We're tired of having to listen to him. We're tired of all he has to say. Yeah, great, we had all the miracles. If we could have had all the miracles and not say a word, we'd be all right. But they were tired of listening to what he had to say. But on that cross, it kept speaking, and it kept speaking, and it kept speaking. And they said, tell him to be quiet. Get rid of him. Get rid. And finally, hey, we got rid of him. He's yielded up the ghost. But when that soldier put that spear into the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood got away. And that blood's been loose for 2,000 years, testifying to the Lord Jesus Christ, testifying to his saving power, testifying to all who will hear, come and be saved, come and be cleansed, come and be washed from all your sins. And that blood came in, and the power of God with that great earthquake came through and rent the veil of the temple. What was the veil of the temple there for? It was the place that separated the holy place from the most holy place. That place that separated man from Almighty God. And at the cross, when the veil of the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ had been torn and the blood had gotten out, that signified to all of mankind that from that time forward, man could now have access to the Holy of Holies, that man for the first time could know his God and have a walk with his God because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. No longer a silent testimony to the saving power of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the testimony of the cross of Jesus Christ. The blood which speaketh better things than that of Abel. Remember what God said to Cain, thy brother's blood crieth out unto me from the ground. What was that blood crying out for? What was that blood demanding? Vengeance, vengeance, judgment, vengeance. But the blood of Jesus Christ came forth speaking better things. No more vengeance, no more judgment, but mercy. Grace. Forgiveness. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the testimony of the cross. This fellow owned a little movie theater in this little kind of quaint little town. I think it's up northern Alabama somewhere. Anyway, the little movie theater, it was right across the way from the local Baptist church of the town. Anyway, one time the theater owner ran into the preacher just down at the local restaurant. and started getting on the preacher a little bit. He said, "You know, preacher, I've been noticing just about every week seems like we have more cars out in my parking lot than they have out there for yours." He says, "You know what? That's probably true. But you know, I noticed you've got to change the title and the theme just about every week to keep people coming." He said, "We've been speaking the same message for 2,000 years, and people still come to hear the testimony of the cross of Jesus Christ." We'll stand for prayer. Father, I pray you bless the message.